Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good afternoon and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. We're going to be talking about the school choice issue this hour. In fact, we're going to talk about the ECOT school closure crisis and the fate of 12,000 students as last Thursday night, the board of ECOT voted to close the online school that has 12,000 students and 2,300 seniors that were set to graduate this year. This all because of the Ohio Department of Education forcing the issue by not accepting the board's recent counter offer. We're going to get into the details of the ECOT school, and it is an online school. As in Ohio, we have school choice. We have, of course, homeschool. We have charter school, online school, and of course, public school. We have school choice in Ohio, and over the last quarter century, we've been working on this to expand school choice options in Ohio. And now there seems to be a war of attrition against school choice in Ohio, and ECOT has been an example of that. We're going to talk about the various sides of this issue this hour, so you want to stay tuned. But I'd like to read for you a statement as this shocking news was delivered last Thursday night, and then, of course, on Friday, the Ohio Christian Alliance released this statement. On Thursday, when the Ohio Department of Education turned down the latest offer of restructured payments by ECOT School, they all but set in motion the immediate closure of the online institution ECOT Schools. In doing so, they put in jeopardy the 12,000 students currently enrolled in the school. The magnitude of this decision is equivalent to a major Ohio school district being forced to close in the middle of the school year. State Superintendent Paolo DeMaria and his administration had no contingency plan for these students. Parents and students are now scrambling to find other schools to enter, including the 2,287 seniors. This crisis could have been averted by the ODE and the Kasich administration. Their failure to provide a workable solution that would have at least finished the school year for ECOT and its students is, in our opinion, gross incompetence and negligent. We would hope that this decision was not made for political purposes. That would be unconscionable, as it is affecting so many school children who depend on this online Ohio school for their continuing education. We hope that the legislature would quickly act to remedy this situation. It goes on to quote State Representative Annie Brenner, who is the chairman of the Ohio House Education Career Readiness Committee. He states, "This could have been avoided by the Department of Education setting up a payment plan that would have allowed the students to finish the school year at ECOT. I warned the department of this months ago, so their lack of consideration makes me concerned about the long-term ramification of school choice in Ohio. Since ECOT is now closing, the Ohio Department of Education has the responsibility to make sure all 12,000 kids are quickly and properly placed into alternative situations." Well, we received reports over the weekend that basically the Ohio Department of Education was not prepared to absorb the 12,000 students into public school or other online schools or charter schools. In fact, they basically just put a link on their website, a button, as it were, for families to follow. Can you imagine that? 12,000 students. How many parents are scrambling and students to find a school in the middle of the school year? This is really ridiculous and it's outrageous. In fact, they put up an 800 number, and there was nobody manning it over the weekend. In fact, only 35 calls came in on Saturday, so their messaging wasn't getting out either. Well, on Tuesday of this week, we held a press conference at the Ohio State House. I'd like to read to you our press statement and then go to the press conference. Ohio State House. Today, State Representative Andy Thompson and of Ohio's 95th District and State Representative Andy Brenner, chairman of the Ohio House Education Committee, along with other legislators, convened a press conference to address the ECOT school closure crisis, which has left 12,000 students, including 2,287 seniors, without a school as of Friday, January 19th. This crisis could have been averted if only the Ohio Department of Education had worked out terms for the school to continue at least until the end of the school year for the students' sake. It is obvious that the Ohio Department of Education and the state superintendent were not prepared for this crisis. The poor planning by the ODE and the superintendent has now put these students' education at risk. The superintendent and the ODE had no contingency plan in place to quickly move the 12,000 students to other schools before making this decision. ODA has stated that it has a button or link on its website with an 800 number that students and families could call, but as of Saturday, as we said earlier, only 35 calls came in on the 800 line. Providing a button on the website is grossly insufficient and represents poor planning by the ODE and the state superintendent Demaria. Our call to action is for the Ohio Department of Education and the Kasich administration to immediately reconsider a workable agreement with ECOT to get them to the end of the school year. This would provide a soft landing for the 12,000 Ohio students who are currently enrolled in Ohio's largest online school and whose education for the remainder of this year is uncertain. Well, we're talking about the ECOT school closure crisis and the fate of 12,000 students. This is our fellow Ohioans, and I've talked to lots of folks and pastors and churches and Christians across the state that this is affecting their families. We're going to go right now to the audio of yesterday's press conference from the Ohio State House.
Thank you for coming today. Today we called a press conference to deal with this issue of the closing of ECOT under the direction of the Department of Education. Very concerned. I wouldn't say this isn't particularly about ECOT, but it's about the children who have been impacted by this and the sense that there is no viable alternative provided for them. There's a button that they can click on the Department of Education website, but if you're thinking about relocating to a public school or relocating to another charter school or some other alternative form of education, we don't really have great solutions for these students right now. And being in the kind of in the middle of the school year here, it's going to be very, very problematic to find something that will work for them. And so we're here today. We have several folks who are going to be attending and speaking. Chris Long is here from the Ohio Christian Alliance, and Andy Brenner, who is the chairman of the Education and Workforce
Career Readiness,
I'm sorry, I got to get that title correct, is here as well to share his observations and his particular inside expertise on this topic. I'm just here as someone who has been involved in education. I formerly served on the Education Committee. Now I'm a concerned citizen. My wife is a public school teacher, so I certainly care about public education and its ability to succeed. But in this realm, we have people who are exercising their choice for an alternative, and that alternative has been taken from them. And so we very much want to see some solution that can be derived and arrived at so that these students can either complete their school year or find a viable alternative. Obviously, it would be ideal if we could find a solution so that we could finish the school year with the school that they're enrolled in, and I think that would be the best solution. Don't have any further remarks right now, but I will say this. School choice is important to the parents and students of Ohio and the teachers that serve in that capacity as well. We don't want to see that under assault. We do not want to see those options taken from people. There's a real chance that this might very negatively impact school choice in the state of Ohio, and that's something that all the speakers today are very much opposed to. My wife has taught at various levels. She's taught homeschoolers, she's taught at the college level, she's taught in the public schools, she's taught in private schools. We need those options available for the students across the state of Ohio, and so we're here today to a call for action to address the problem and the concerns of the students who are impacted by this ECOT closing and hope that we can find a viable solution. With that, I will turn it over now to my colleague, Chairman Andy Brenner.
Thank you, Representative Thompson. You have actually some prepared remarks for this morning. I did post over the weekend for some of you that didn't see my Facebook post. The Ohio General Assembly passed a charter school reform known as House Bill 2, which became law in the last General Assembly. This law is designed to close failing charter schools and to make sure the students are learning and receiving an appropriate education that meets each student's needs. The law is working appropriately and has led to the closing of many failing community schools. Last Thursday, however, one of Ohio's largest schools, ECOT, was forced to close based upon failed attendance audit from the 2015-16 and then the following school years. The Ohio Department of Education chose to claw back between $60 and $80 million in overpayments during the school year by withholding approximately $2.5 million per month. ECOT's cash on hand totaled $18 million at the start of the 2017-2018 school year. Their funds were running out, and their sponsor, Lake Erie West, had no choice under the Ohio Revised Code than to close the school. Unfortunately, this means it is highly unlikely that the state of Ohio will be able to get back most of the $80 million it says it is owed. Of course, there is an outstanding Supreme Court case, but it is unlikely that even if the rules in favor of ECOT, that the school will come back. It definitely won't for the remaining of this school year. The Ohio Department of Education should have taken steps to avoid a mid-year closing of a school and the potential loss of $80 million. The department should have prepared ahead of time and either closed the school at the beginning of the school year by collecting all of ECOT's cash on hand or at the end of the school year. Of course, either option would not allow for the return of the money. While it is not the department's direct responsibility to close the school, but that of the school's sponsor, the department created an environment that caused the school to close mid-year. This is not to say that ECOT wasn't responsible for their own actions, but that the mid-year closing could have been mitigated or prevented. 12,000 students must now find a new school, and 500 teachers are out of work. And this is in the middle of a school year. I talked to two teachers in the last 24 hours who both work at ECOT, and believe me, that's going to hard time for them to try to find a job in the middle of the school year. One of them has already lined up substitute work to try to get them through the rest of the year. Other school districts throughout the state now have to adjust their plans to accommodate these students. The Ohio Department of Education needs to make sure ECOT's closing works as efficiently as possible, including making sure that the master assigned to the school has the necessary resources to make sure that the students are appropriately and quickly placed into other schools. This is even more important because the department has indicated that 49.4% of the 16 to 22-year-olds who attended ECOT qualified for the dropout recovery program. For some of you who have reported on this, if the threshold is 50% in order to qualify for dropout recovery as a program. So this is highly unacceptable. These at-risk youths are and the other thousands of students and their families should have never been put into this situation in the middle of the school year. It is up to the General Assembly to make sure that something like this does not happen again. And there are several potential pieces of legislation that we're considering to prevent this from happening again. And while this isn't going to help, unfortunately, the many parents and families and kids who are currently in ECOT, hopefully we can do something that will prevent this from happening down the road. Number one, mid-year closing should be avoided, especially if there is a funding dispute. The state should not be required to work with the school and schools to claw back amounts that do not close the school in the middle of the school year. Two, we should prevent any department from writing rules that are made retroactive unless those rules lessen burdens on our schools and private sector businesses. Rules should only be written on a go-forward basis. Additionally, rules that are not enforced or have been ignored should be enforced on a go-forward basis. This is partially the problem that led to the ECOT closure, is that the department had rules in their full-time equivalency manual that they decided to start enforcing and make it retroactive in the school year, basically putting them off guard, which has triggered this entire setup to begin with. Three, if a school must close during the middle of the school year, the Ohio Department of Education should make sure that it is planned out and that all students can be accommodated quickly and appropriately. Displaced teachers should also be given appropriate resources for a quick placement into other positions with other schools, and the Department of Education should have a contingency plan in place for all future closings that would happen mid-year. From what I can tell, having talked to them in the last 2 weeks, they did not have a plan. They started thinking about it and started putting stuff together within the last couple of weeks. Now, they may come back and say that maybe they started earlier. That's not from what I've been able to tell. Four, if a situation occurs where millions of dollars are at stake due to failed attendance audits, the Ohio Department of Education must take appropriate action to audit the books, including the utilization of forensic accounting, interviewing teachers, and other appropriate steps to make sure that students are accounted for and that the funds are appropriately spent. This includes best practices audits for schools who do not meet state requirements. The Department of Education should put together payment plans that consider a complete repayment of all funds owed. These plans need to be reasonable and must be considered must consider taxpayers' return. In this particular case, it's kind of hard to return $80 million if, in fact, the school is closed. They could have put up together a five-year repayment plan or something that would have been reasonable, charge interest to the school, and get all the money clawed back, but now it looks like that's probably going to be near impossible to do. The Ohio House has already passed House Bill 21, sponsored by Representative Hambly. This will put the requirements for attendance on each charter school. Prior to this bill and prior to this discussion, this was the attendance would always fall back on the traditional public school, leaving big question marks as to where the students were. And then lastly, the Ohio Department of Education should put in place some best practice audits for failing schools. That's all schools, whether they're community schools or charter schools. And in doing so, these best practice audits should verify evidence-based practices to turn around these schools so that they're not in a position where they fail. I will now gladly pass this along to our next speaker, I believe Chris Long. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Appreciate your comments on this. And we are at a crisis shutdown, similar to what was in Washington, only we have 12,000 students that are at stake who do not have a school as of today because of the decision of last Thursday night. And we are here today because there is a way forward. And if the parties will come together, similar to what happened in Washington, when the parties came together and averted a government shutdown, well, we're hoping that these parties will come together and avert the final shutdown of this school, which represents 12,000 students and nearly 2,300 graduating seniors. And they're today wondering what is their future. And so we're here today because we care. We're here today because they do have a voice. And that's why this has to be addressed. And we're asking the parties that are involved to come together, both ECOT and the Ohio Department of Education, the superintendent, and one other member that could really play a key role, and that is Governor Kasich. I have here today a personal letter to the governor that immediately following this press conference, I'm going to deliver personally to his office on the 30th floor at the Rife Center. We're hoping the governor will bring the parties together and find a workable solution so that ECOT can finish out the school year for the 12,000 students. Let's understand the magnitude of what we have here. 12,000 students is equivalent to a major school district in Ohio like Akron, Ohio or Toledo actually shutting down in the middle of the school year. No one would ever permit that. But yet, because they can't be seen because it's an online school, and these are students who depend on this form of education for a variety of reasons. My family, actually, my wife and I raised 8 children. We're at the end of that line with our baby at home now. She's 17. She's actually at a public school. But we've done it all. We've done homeschooling, private school. We've done online school and, of course, public school. These are the school choice options currently in Ohio, as well as charter schools. But what we see in ECOT, and this isn't a referendum on the good and bad of ECOT, but that it represents a whole body of students and Ohioans who are accessing this school option, and that's why it has to be addressed today. That's why we're asking for the legislature, but more importantly, the Ohio Department of Education, and to sit down with the members of ECOT with the governor's office to work out a solution, and they need to do it quickly. Time is a wasting. As you know, that every day on the calendar year for a senior is critical that they get the requirements completed for graduation. So these are our future Ohioans that we're advocating for today. I so appreciate State Representative Andy Thompson, State Representative Andy Brenner, and of course the chairman of the Education Committee, who has been, as you can hear in his comments, he's been engaged in this. This didn't happen for him overnight. He's been actually prophesying for 8 months that we're going to have a crisis and there's a way to avert it. But for some reason, the Ohio Department of Education, the superintendent, ignored his warnings as to what might occur, as to what happened on Thursday night when the final agreement or offer was turned down by the Department of Education. The public has to wonder at this point.
that they pared back their payments to $1.9 million a month and then offered to sell their corporate headquarters valued at $6.8 million. It sounds to me that they were willing to do whatever it took to get to the end of the school year. Why did the department at that point just say no? And I think the general public understands that doesn't sound right to anybody. So that's why we're here today, is to advocate that this school be able to continue to the end of the school year. The other issues will be worked out along the way. Obviously, the court case is before the Supreme Court. That will be reviewed, obviously, and so those decisions can be made. But let's not forget about the 12,000 students. They want to know today, does anybody care? Well, we're here to say we do. We do care. Thank you, Representative.
And you're listening to News in Focus. Yesterday, that was the press conference at the Ohio State House with State Representative Andy Brenner, who is the chairman of the Education Committee, State Representative Andy Thompson, State Representative Jim Butler, and State Representative Robert Sprague, which we're going to hear from a little later in the program. With me in studio is OCA board member Pastor Al. You know him as Live with Pastor Al, whose broadcast is on Friday and Sunday nights. And Pastor, you were with us at the press conference yesterday. Quickly, your thoughts.
Yes, Chris, and thanks for allowing me to be here. It was very interesting being down at the State House yesterday. I know we only have just a moment here, but it was good to see the concern on some people out there, families and the legislatures. And our hope and prayer, of course, is that concern will translate over to the governor's office.
That's right. And you were with me when we submitted a letter to the governor. And it was a personal letter that we marched up there to his office, and they were in receipt of it. The governor did respond. Unfortunately, he said there was nothing he can do. Well, we're not buying that, and there's a lot that the governor can do, and that's why we're asking you that are listening today to call the governor's office at 614-466-3555. Again, that's 614-466-3555, and that's Governor Kasich, and urge him to bring the two parties together to get the ECOT school back, and so these kids can finish out the school year. In fact, this will be a full week that they've been without school, and trust me, 12,000 students can't be assimilated quickly into other school systems. In the middle of the year, it just can't happen. With the best solution is to bring these two parties back together, that is the ECOT officials, the Ohio Department of Education, to work out an agreement. ECOT's officials are really going the extra mile. They're saying, look, we'll just take the bare minimum of $1.9 million a month just for operating. We'll sell our corporate headquarters of $6.8 million. And in fact, the founder said that he'll waive all of his fees as well. So sounds to me they're willing to do whatever it takes to get the kids back to school, but there's a missing element here, and Governor Kasich holds the key. Again, his number is 614-466-3555. Well, for those of you that are staying with us, stay tuned on the other side, and we're going to be joined by one of the vice principals of ECOT Schools. She's going to tell a very personal story of the type of kids that are accessing and benefiting from ECOT Schools. You don't want to miss that. We'll be right back on this side. Also, Pastor Al will be joining us as well. Well, listen, thank you for tuning in today. If you've missed any of today's program, you can always catch it in its entirety at our website at ohioca.org. Also, the full length press conference is there at the top of our webpage as well. That's the Ohio Christian Alliance, or just go to ohioca.org. Stay with us. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away.
Looking out for seniors today. It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus us fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
I'm Johnette Cruz, and I'm a busy mom. Then a friend told me about TrustBlueReview.com, a new website powered by the Christian Blue Network. She uses it to find trusted Christian-owned businesses. I checked it out, read the helpful reviews, and found a great family dentist. Now I use TrustBlueReview for all my family's needs. For peace of mind, do what I did. Visit TrustBlueReview.com or download their free mobile app from your app store today.
The trusted source for all you do, TrustBlueReview.
Will my kids like this dentist? Can I trust this mechanic? Who's a good choice for my upcoming remodel? I found businesses I can trust from TrustBlueReview.com.
This company rebuilt our deck and renovated our bathroom. I'd highly recommend them to anyone looking to hire an honest contractor.
The best dentist experience I've ever had.
It's now easy to find trusted businesses in my community that have the same Christian values as my family. It all starts at TrustBlueReview.com or download their app in the App Store today.
The trusted source for all you do. TrustBlueReview.
Okay, and we're back, and we're talking about the ECOT school closure crisis. You're listening to News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. And we're going to be talking about this part of the program, basically the nuts and bolts of what ECOT Schools is, the online school, and the kind of young people that it's been helping for many years now. In fact, Ohio's largest online school. But here's one of the reports from the NBC affiliate out of Columbus that reported on yesterday's press conference.
Continuing coverage tonight, lawmakers at the State House say the 12,000 displaced ECOT students are a crisis the governor should do something about. NBC4's Ohio State House newsroom reporter Jason Aubrey explains what lawmakers want.
This morning, advocates for ECOT students asked for someone to help. They're specifically looking to the governor to be a leader, but his office says he will not get involved.
When ECOT closed last week, 12,000 students, nearly 3,000 of which are seniors on track to graduate, were left without a school.
We're asking the parties that are involved to come together, both ECOT and the Ohio Department of Education, the superintendent, and one other member that could really play a key role, and that is Governor Kasich.
The group wants to see a deal cut that would keep the school open for the rest of the year.
It could happen immediately. We could start educating those children again today.
We would go back in a heartbeat. We are having a very hard time.
Elaine Stavropoulos' daughter, Chrissy, is a senior special needs student. They can't find a school that will take her with two classes to go before graduating.
If the governor can bring everybody together to help us put us back online, let's do that so these kids don't have to worry about finishing the school year.
But the governor's office says that's not possible because the state constitution says the Department of Education must be independent. In a statement, Governor Kasich said, "We don't believe it's our job to do that. It's not appropriate." In their own statement, the Ohio Department of Education said, "We've seen districts and schools across the state reach out to ECOT students to help. We also know thousands of ECOT students are smoothly transitioning to new schools and will continue to work toward helping all students find a learning environment that suits their individual needs." Local for you at the State House, Jason Aubrey, NBC4.
And that was the coverage of yesterday's press conference at the Ohio State House. With me in studio is Pastor Al Davis, who is a board member of the Ohio Christian Alliance, also host of Live with Pastor Al here on the station on Fridays and Sunday nights. Pastor, your thoughts of yesterday's press conference?
Yes, Chris. I was, like I said, I'm heartened to see the people, the legislatures, that have a concern for the welfare of the 12,000 students. And as you pointed out earlier, for those who are listening in the previous half hour, this is like the size of a moderate-sized school district, like Akron or Toledo, something like that. And for these young people to have their plans, I especially think of the seniors, that this should be the time that they're thinking about college. They're thinking about, what am I going to do when I graduate? Mm-hmm. And now they're thinking, am I going to graduate? And any other condition or school district, the state would have stepped in and did what was necessary to take care of these children and to help get them through the school year. And again, that's our prayers that the governor will step in and work with the ECOT and the Ohio Department of Education and bring this to a resolution.
Well, make no bones about it. This is a war on school choice, and I think a lot of folks are beginning to be aware of that. It's online school, it's charter school, and I would even say that in the future it could be homeschool. If the Ohio Department of Education begins to change the requirements and criteria for homeschoolers, many of them can find themselves out of compliance, and by attrition, we would see fewer and fewer people homeschooling because they would find themselves out of compliance and on the wrong side of the law when it came to the Ohio Department of Education. Well, to get a very personal view of this and up close and personal, with us on the phone is Laura Beth McNamara, who was an assistant principal at ECOT Academy and who also testified before the press conference yesterday. Laura, thanks for coming on the program.
Thanks for having me on, Chris.
Well, you know, thank you for coming. You wrote a letter, an open letter to Governor Kasich a few months ago, and it was republished by Third Rail Politics recently. Tell us about that letter that you wrote to the governor and your thoughts on all this.
When this situation occurred about 2 years ago, or started, the whole issue started to occur, I wasn't concerned because I knew that ECOT had not done anything wrong. I knew we had followed the FTE rules that were in place. Even when there was the change to move into having legal proceedings with the courts in Ohio, I still wasn't concerned because I knew if the judges in the case would look at the facts and they would rule honestly, they would find that, again, we did nothing wrong there. But it wasn't until this past summer when it was apparent that we were basically a target. In the spring, ODE told us that they were going to have a payback of $2.5 million each month. And so ECOT made some strategic moves to reduce costs so that way we could make it through the whole school year. But each month, ODE continued to raise the amount that they were wanting back. As if they knew exactly how much money we had, and they were going to make sure we were out of business before the Supreme Court hearing, which is in February, on February the 13th. And so that was my first, I was very concerned that we just wouldn't get our day in court. And so I started calling around and researching, speaking with legislators, speaking with people from the auditor's office, speaking with people from the attorney general's office, and trying to speak with people from the governor's office. And my heart was just heavy because these kids matter. They matter just as much as every other child in the state of Ohio.
That's right.
And for this to happen to them, it was just unacceptable. And so the Lord laid it on my heart to write a letter to Governor Kasich. So I did. And the main point of the letter was Governor Kasich mentions his Christian beliefs quite often in the public. And so I said, how are you able to reconcile your Christian beliefs with the injustice of allowing 12,000 students to be collateral damage in the actions you have supported against ECOT? So that was my main point that I wanted to make in the letter. I mentioned about how he's written a letter about his Christianity, a book. He's written a book called Every Other Monday, 20 Years of Life, Lunch, Faith, and Friendship. And he talks about scripture in there. And so as a fellow Christian, it just surprises me that anyone would walk away from 12,000 students that are in need in the middle of a school year. So I wrote this letter, and as part of my research to find out exactly what was occurring and who should be allowed to do what, I just found out that there were so many times that ODE overstepped their bounds. I mean, when they actually rewrote the FTE, it didn't even follow the Ohio Revised Code, which says that anything that has to do with funding has to go through a specific process. They totally skipped that part. They didn't work with the auditor's office. There were just a lot of things that didn't make any sense. But the one thing that was really totally shocking to me was when I read in the Columbus Dispatch, there was an article from September the 4th, 2016, that said after ODE rolled out their FTE, new audit review in January of 2016, that there was a meeting that took place with legislators, several Ohio legislators, members of Governor Kasich's staff, representative from the Ohio Department of Education, and also many representatives from different e-schools. and they discussed the issue, and wisely so, they realized that applying this new rule in the middle of the year just didn't make sense. And they decided to wait until the next school year and then apply it to schools, you know, all the e-schools fairly. And but the next day, Governor Kasich came back and changed it and said, no, it was going to happen this year and it was going to happen retroactively. And so it was truly, it says right there in the Columbus Dispatch that, you know, this final decision came from Governor Kasich.
Well, and so, let me weigh in right there, because this is interesting, because when we submitted the letter to the governor yesterday that he could be a decision, he could be a game changer from his office as governor in this crisis. It seems to me that he actually has helped to create the crisis. He could mitigate this crisis. When he says, and his spokesman says, it's not possible, let me remind the governor that we have a state motto that says, with God, all things are possible. So, you know, at this point, Laura, I have to say that, you know, we've been in very professional and genteel with the governor, and we gave him a letter yesterday, and we're giving him an opportunity to be a gentleman and to do the right thing and to bring in proper governance, to care about the 12,000 Ohioan kids and their families in this crisis. But it looks to me as if he's going to need a lot of encouragement. And let me just do this right now. Folks of you that are listening, we need you to call the governor's office. Let me give you that number, 614-466-3555. When you get on the phone, ask to speak to someone about the ECOT school closure crisis, and then they'll switch you through. If you don't get anyone, you get a recording, call back and then talk to the receptionist and let them know right off the bat. So we're going to be flooding the phone lines of the governor so he knows that how many Ohioans actually care about this issue. And I warned them today, you're going to be inundated, so get a bunch of extra people to work these phones, because you're about to get inundated with phone calls between now and Friday. We're going to give the governor Friday to do the right thing, that he's going to be able to come into the situation, bring the two parties together, get these kids to the end of the school year. Anything else is unacceptable. I'll give him a word, unacceptable. And if he thinks it's going away, it's not going to go away. So we got a lot of folks, even nationally, to want to weigh into this, and they want to see a guy who's out there talking about the DACA kids and why he's concerned about them, but he's not concerned about the 12,000 Ohioan kids, of which he is responsible for. Again, that number is 614-466-3555. Laura, thank you for what you're doing. And there's folks that have kind of run to this battle. They realize, you know, that this is a challenge to school choice as we've known it. And when you just depicted the, and thank you for portraying that for us, it was the governor that came back. All parties came together. Then he arbitrarily makes a decision. Oh, wait a second. I think, Pastor, he just made an executive decision, didn't he? That he wanted to make it retroactive. Your thoughts on that?
Well, absolutely. And I find it ironic, as Laura said here, that he made the decision which precipitated this crisis. And now he says, it's inappropriate for me to intervene. I can't do anything. Well, he did it. Maybe he considers it inappropriate to correct his bad judgment.
Well, that's right. Well, here's the thing, folks. You know politics. You know, look, we're a public policy organization. We hold them accountable. And let me just tell you, we're an equal opportunity offender. That's right. So we'll take them all on, okay? So, we lean conservative, but we'll take them all on. Governor Kasich happens to be a Republican. Many of our folks supported him in the first term as he ran for governor, and he's been kind of all over the map. But, you know, folks, he's done some good things, a lot of pro-life legislation, things that we support. Governor's made some good decisions. We haven't always agreed with him, but we've always been cordial and appropriate with the governor. This is a point here now where this is 12,000 kids. This is this isn't one of those back burner things. Well, we'll get to it later. No. This has to be done now. Every day that passes is a day off the calendar for these kids in this school, and we're in the middle of the first week, and it's got to be dealt with now. So really, what we need you to do is call the governor's office and let him know just that. 614-466-3555. You know, Laura, I heard some interesting things as I've talked to legislators. I talked to state school board members. I talked to the former Speaker of the House. I've talked to lots of folks in and out of politics about this, and families across the state. They get it. They understand what's going on here. And so Sure, we believe in accountability of the various school, whether it's charter schools or online schools, in the reporting. But these were arbitrary law rules that were put in place by the Ohio Department of Education. Let me say this, folks. If they're under the Ohio State School Board, Sarah Fowler put out a letter to the state superintendent and asked him a list of questions, of which he's been very vague and not very specific about. And then we heard testimony yesterday in the press conference from State Representative Andy Brenner, who's the chairman of the Education Committee, and also the department has to answer them. And they told him, well, we can't answer your questions because we're involved with a lawsuit. I'm telling you, a lot of this stinks to high heaven, Pastor. What are your thoughts?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, that's what part of the role of Ohio Christian Alliance is, to try to bring light to some of these things and be a voice of morality. You know, there's a thing called ethics that we should be concerned about here.
That's right. And good governance. And so, you know, that's what we're calling them out for right here, is that, you know, look, they have the opportunity to do the right thing, and that's what we're hoping. And we always appeal to officials in an appropriate manner. But again, you know, it's an urgent situation. Laura, tell us about some of these kids that you've had contact with over the years with ECOD School. And by the way, ECOD really, a few years ago, if I'm not mistaken, they graduated one of the largest graduating classes in the country. That's really quite an achievement.
That is absolutely correct. You know, if we were not doing well as a school, how could we be growing by leaps and bounds? Mm-hmm. It's just not possible. Our first graduating class was like 21 students, and then we're graduating over 2,000 students. But I did want to make a point to add something to a point that you made. You know, the Ohio Department of Education right now, they're really acting neglectful of our children by not recognizing their needs and not addressing their needs, and they knew what was going to occur here because they were a part of the negotiations that were occurring while we were trying desperately to come up with a plan in order to help our students. But not only that, they're showing a lot of fiscal irresponsibility, because if they close us, they're not going to get the money back for the taxpayers too. So if you look either way, on the side of the children or on the side of the money, the decisions that they're making really make you call into question, you know, what kind of logic or reasoning are they using as they're making these decisions? Mm. It's just bewildering to me. But I do want to talk about our children. We have children that just come to us, you know, because it fits into their lifestyle. You know, maybe they travel. We have some athletes that travel, and they have to, you know, spend so much time training. The great thing about ECOD is the flexibility. We're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so students can work on it at a time that's convenient for them. So if they have children of their own that they have to work with, or they work, you know, during the daytime and they're working to support their family, maybe they have to work 40 hours a week, they can still log on. If they have health issues and they have to be out for doctor's appointments and different things, they can easily still access their content. But we also have students that really have challenges, that it's not so easy to just fit into a traditional school. You know, some of those health issues that they have, they really cannot be out, and they really can't, walk through schools or do the normal things that people would do. We have a lot of students that have special needs, and they just weren't being met, individually on a one-on-one basis in their regular school. But when they came to ECOD, they found that that's a department that we really take a lot of pride in at ECOD, is meeting the needs of our special needs children, and making sure that that child is addressed where they're at. And then a plan is set into place to really help them grow, you know, as an individual, and not, you know, with a set of rules that everyone else has to follow. But we try to truly look at those students that are in special needs as individuals. But the great thing about ECOD, one of the great things, is when you come into ECOD, we accept you where you're at. You know, if you are two grades below, then by golly, that's where we're going to meet you at. And we're going to move you as far ahead forward as we can. And if you're two grades above, then we're going to challenge you. We're going to give you the opportunity to take those classes that, you know, you wouldn't have been able to take in a traditional school. Maybe you're in middle school and you're in geometry. You should be in geometry, but you can't. There's no geometry offered at the middle school. Well, that doesn't matter. We don't have those borders, those boundaries in our school district. So by golly, you can take geometry then if you wanted to, or you can take post-secondary college classes if you want. We just have such a unique environment Now, it's not for every student. We have students that, you know, they're really truly just trying to play the game and be, you know, they're truant. They, you know, just want to, you know, stay above the truancy level, I should say. And we have students that aren't self-motivated, and then they don't have anyone to oversee them, and so it really doesn't fit for that student. They really need someone right there with them.
Well, that's right. And, you know, when I think when I was that age, I'm not sure that online school would have worked for me. I needed more of a personal engagement and tutoring situation. But it all really comes down to the student when he gets or she gets serious. And then, you know, and so kids go through different things during their education process, and maybe they have some challenges at home and that kind of thing. But ECOT was definitely an answer for a lot of students. We're talking with Laura Beth McNamara, again, assistant principal of the ECOT Academy. We're going to take a break. We're going to come right back. We're going to have a small clip from State Representative Robert Sprague, who talked about that his e-school was also on the wrong side of this retroactive login rule, and they also ran afoul of the law of ODE as well. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all, so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
Okay, and here's another clip from yesterday's press conference. This is State Representative Robert Sprague, and he was saying that his local school, online school, was running afoul of the ODE's new criteria. Let's take a listen.
Thank you. My name is Robert Sprague, a state representative, and I hail from Findlay, Ohio. And you asked the question of whether or not this might affect other charter schools or online schools. And I can tell you that it has in my district, which is one of the reasons that I'm standing here today. We have the Findlay Digital Academy in Findlay, Ohio. And this was actually an online school that's sponsored by the public school in order to serve kids that are at risk because they've dropped out and they're trying to now come back up to speed. And I went out to visit the Findlay Digital Academy. There was one young lady who had her baby in the pack and play as she was going through the classes there with the math teacher and coming up to speed on the homework. And, you know, these were all kids that had ability and could graduate if they were given an alternate means to be able to do that on their own time, whatever their family situation or whatever their needs are, or in some cases what their religion is. And it was working for them. It was a huge community asset, in my opinion, because it was serving these kids. And sure enough, we had the very same thing that happened to us. In the middle of the school year, Board of Education comes back and says, hey, we'd like to audit all of your login and logout times. And because you're not able to produce that for us, we're going to withhold $2 million. You owe us $2 million. For these kids that, by the way, graduated, many of them ended up graduating that year, and you still owe us money back because you couldn't give us the long log on and log off times. They simply weren't tracking it. It wasn't because they were unwilling to give that, or they just didn't know to track it to begin with. So they never tracked those kids logging off and on the computer or coming into, you know, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday to get help from the math teacher or sit down with the other teachers to see how their progress was. They just didn't keep track of that because they were unable to produce the records. All of a sudden they owed money, which almost shut down that school as well. So I think that if you're looking for examples of how it might affect or has affected other schools, that's a great one.
There's another example of a online school that has run afoul of the ODE's new requirements, and again, retroactive by the governor's executive action, and that's where this crisis began. Laura, your thoughts?
Yeah, And what people don't understand is that when they rolled out the new FTE rules in January 2016, it didn't apply to all e-schools because not all e-schools were under review that year. So it only applied to the e-schools that were being reviewed that year. So any school that wasn't being reviewed still had, they had time. They heard about this, and then they had the time to put in the proper technology. So that would be kind of like the IRS now coming to you and saying, oh, well, if your last name begins with A through L, we're going to want this new data from you to send in with your taxes for this next year. Everyone else, you've got some time to, you know, make sure you have it ready for the following year. Well, it makes no sense at all how it was applied.
That's exactly right. Laura McNamara, again, assistant principal of the ECOT Academy. Pastor Al, you have the governor's phone number for people to call, and it's urgent that they that he hears from us.
Yes, the governor's office, 614-466-3555. That's 614-466-3555.
And when they call, they need to really urge the governor to get involved, bring the two parties together, get these kids to the end of the school year. Folks, this can happen, but it's going to happen with a lot of us paying attention and really caring. And, you know, Laura, God bless you. You know, thank you for your time of teaching and the years that you've put in at ECOT. We hope that we're going to be able to remedy this situation. And we're standing with these kids, and we're standing with you and the teachers.
We really appreciate it. Would it be possible to give some numbers here, just some last numbers to have in people's minds?
Yes, please, real quick, because we've got 15 okay. seconds. Yeah.
We have 8,553 of our students who are economically disadvantaged, and we have more than 6,000 students that are dropout or credit recovery students. These are students that need more school choice more than any students do. We can't let them down.
We won't let them down. We're going to be praying, and we're going to be doing some action. Laura, thanks for being my guest today. Again, Laura McNamara, assistant principal of ECOT Academy, and Pastor Al. Programs live with Pastor Al on Fridays and Sunday nights right here on the station. Thanks for tuning in, and log on to our website at ohioca.org to learn more. God bless and good night.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.